Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. O come, Emmanuel, and be light for our darkness. Be comfort in our grief. Be a friend for our loneliness, an oasis for our searching. O come, Emmanuel, restore our joy, heal our wounds, and bring us peace.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come. Let us
Our affirmation of faith is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and now sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the third chapter of Malachi, verses 1 through 4. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years.
Sing of Mary, pure and lowly, Virgin Mother undefiled. Sing of God's own Son, most holy, who became her little child. Fairest child of fairest mother, God the Lord who came to earth, Word made flesh, our very brother, takes our nature by his birth. Sing of Jesus, Son of Mary, in the home at Nazareth. Toil and labor cannot weary, love enduring unto death. Constant was the love he gave her, though he went forth from her side, forth to preach and heal.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 through 42. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." This is the word of God given to us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis, peccatoribus nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. We are familiar with these words of Ave Maria, most likely because of Franz Schubert's beautiful musical setting of this prayer. However, have you ever made the connection that this Latin prayer translates into English as what we would call the Hail Mary? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Of course, those familiar with the Catholic tradition know that this prayer in their heart, and they know it by heart, and we Protestants are less familiar with its words. And yet, listen again. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Does that sound familiar to you? If so, it's because the first two lines of this prayer came straight out of the scripture reading that you heard only a few moments ago. In his gospel, Luke records four canticles or psalms, which are songs of faith, and he puts them on the lips of the people in the Christmas story. These are what might be called the first carols of Christmas, and they reveal to us the amazing, world-altering, life-changing work that God has begun to give to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. This morning, the words we study are spoken by the messenger Gabriel and by Mary's cousin Elizabeth. They are not one of the four psalms, but over time, these words become that Ave Maria. Hail Mary, full of grace, is the Old English translation of the greeting of the angel Gabriel when he approached Mary. Rejoice, favored one. And of course, we heard his next words, the Lord is with you. Then when Mary went to see Elizabeth, the baby John leapt in her womb and she cried out to Mary, blessed are you among women and blessed is the child you carry. These words from Gabriel and Elizabeth quickly became a part of the church's liturgy, and by a little after the year 1000, the final line had been added and it became the prayer of devotion to Mary that many of us now know, adapted many times over in art and in song. Indeed, the words of Gabriel and Elizabeth in this account are what is called the Annunciation, the announcement of Jesus' pending birth. They're not in form of a psalm, but what these two people say about Mary tells us a great deal about God and God's work with His people. So this morning, as we continue our look at the first carols of Christmas, we will use the words from this passage, the words of the Hail Mary, to consider what it means to be both full of grace and blessed. Much like Joseph, who we considered last week, Mary is of humble origins. She too lived in Nazareth. It's most likely that the folks living in Nazareth made their homes in caves. This wasn't a bustling trade center. It was just a tiny village, and the life expectancy in that part of the world at that time was around 35 years. At the time the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, she would have only been about 14 or 15 years old, not exactly the type of person one would expect to hear and raise the ruler of the world. Still, there was something about this woman, Mary, that drew God to her as the chosen vessel for his son. Considering the angel's greeting as he approached Mary, I think it's fair to say that the God of all grace saw in Mary a woman full of grace. But what does that mean? What does it look like to be a person who is full of grace? Well, it's a bit hard to determine that from Mary herself, simply by virtue of the fact that her appearances and words in the Gospels are extremely limited. Still, there are other places in the Gospels where stories are told of people who are full of grace. The story of the Good Samaritan is probably the most well-known example, but there are many others as well. Just read the stories of Jesus' interactions with people throughout his ministry. Jesus is grace personified, and there are modern-day examples too. Did you hear that story a few years back about the police officer in New York City? He was working the second shift in Manhattan, sort of making his rounds one cold winter evening when he spotted a homeless man sitting across the street in front of a shoe store. The officer approached the man to ask him to move away from the store, but when he got across the street, he noticed that the man wasn't wearing any socks or shoes. Suddenly, the officer's plans changed. You see, it had been bitterly cold in New York for over a week, and the highs during the days were only in the mid-20s, and at night, with the wind chill, it fell well below zero. Maybe the homeless man had chosen that spot outside the shoe store on purpose, or maybe it was just where he landed when his cold, tired feet gave out that night. But in any case, it worked out well for the police officer, who went into the store and bought the man several pairs of warm socks and some heavy-duty boots. We know this story because a tourist passing by snapped a photo when the police officer came out of the store and knelt down to help the man put on the new socks and shoes. And we remember this story because it was about a man full of grace. We can imagine that Mary was such a person, one who, though meek and lowly herself, offered to help those in need and showed compassion to those who were hurting, one who showed kindness, expecting nothing in return, and forgave, even though it wasn't deserved. These were the same sorts of things that her son did to teach us about the love of the Father. And though Christ is one with God the Father and always has been, he would have needed an earthly parent to teach him such grace too. And Mary was the one. What about you? As Christians, we are people who are to continually display Christ to the world. How are we doing? Do people see the grace of God in us? We may not be full of grace, but are we growing in grace? Are we more grace-filled this year than we were last year? And a year from now, will we be even more full of grace? Our faith is meant to be shown in a changed life, and as those who, like Mary, are bearers of Christ to the world, that means we must exhibit the fullness of grace. It also means we have to understand what it is to be blessed by God. You know, when Mary found out she was pregnant, she must have been terrified. She knew that at best her marriage to Joseph would never happen, and at worst, she could be killed for adultery. She was so scared, in fact, that she didn't go tell her parents or her siblings. Instead, she walked 10 days on a journey to her cousin Elizabeth's home. She needed to get away. She needed someone to talk to. But what she got was so much more. Because when she walked into the house and greeted Elizabeth, Elizabeth knew immediately why she was there. She welcomed Mary with great love and enthusiasm. God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Could you imagine When you're fearing for your life and feeling cursed by the world, how wonderful it would feel to hear somebody say that you are blessed. I imagine that those were just the words of comfort that Mary needed to hear in that exact moment. But here's what we need to understand. Even though that announcement of Mary's blessedness might have brought momentary relief, the simple truth was that Mary's blessing was a double-edged sword, and it would be for all of Jesus' life. It began in that moment when the full realization hit that she was pregnant out of wedlock. It continued for some 33 years. When Jesus was 12, he would disappear in the temple for 3 days as his parents frantically looked for him. As he began his ministry, Jesus would announce to the crowds that he had no mother or brothers except those who do the will of the Father. Then Mary would watch as her son was condemned, tortured, and hung on a cross to die. How many times must she have thought to herself, "How can this be? This is a blessing?" Yet, we know that it was, and we know Jesus to be the greatest blessing that the world has ever seen. This is the reality of all of God's blessing. It comes with a price, an expectation. It will not always be easy, but it is always worth it. Theologian William Barclay calls it the paradox of blessedness. He explains, to be chosen by God so often means at one time, the same time, a crown of joy and a cross of sorrow. The piercing truth is that God does not choose a person for ease and comfort and selfish joy, but for a task that will take all that head, heart, and hand can bring to it. It's the paradox of blessedness that it confers on a person at one time and the same time, the greatest joy and the greatest task in all the world. Blessing comes with an expectation that the blessing will be passed to others. That means something is required of us, and it may not always be easy. But when we bless others sacrificially, we quickly find that the blessings come back to us, as they most certainly did for Mary. When Gabriel announced to Mary all that was to happen, her response was, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." She recognized God's blessings. She knew at least the immediate consequences, and she still submitted willingly to God's plan. Are you willing to pray this morning, "God bless me"? Advent is about preparing for a celebration of Christ's birth, but it's also a time to prepare for Christ's ultimate return. I told you all last week that I wanted this time each Sunday to be a time where we put aside our worldly Christmas preparations and instead focus on our spiritual preparations. I hope that in the days and weeks to come, we will all spend some time focusing on how we are bearing the light of Christ in the world. Are we people of blessing and people full of grace? Are we becoming more so all the time? This is the preparation we need to be focusing on this Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us such a beautiful picture of the girl that you used to bring the Lord Jesus into the world. Thank you that along with her, we are enabled to rejoice in Jesus as our God and Savior, that we are blessed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of Christ, and that He is with each of us every moment of the day. We rejoice with Mary and with all the saints in heaven that by His blood we are redeemed and we've been made a new creation in Jesus Christ. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Thank you.
was born on Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new king born today. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Trumpets sound and angels sing, listen what they say, that man of Christmas Day. While shepherds watch their flock by night, they see a bright new shining star. Then hear a choir sing, the music seemed to come from afar. Now Joseph and his wife Mary come to Bethlehem that night. Then find no
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.